Okay, Tov, we continue our study of Masechet Megillah and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we go back to the Drasha that was mentioned on the verse Mishpacha, Mishpacha, Medina, Medina, Ve'ir, Ve'ir, and then each one of those was distinguishing between different kinds of cities. So the Gemara then comments, Hashta Damar, Medina, Medina, Ve'ir, Ve'ir, the Drasha, if we're going to use the double mention of Medina and the double mention of Ir as a drasha for exegesis, then mishpacha mishpacha lamayata. So why does it say family and family? Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina lahavi mishpachot kehuna uleviya, to include all families of Israel, including kohanim and leviim, shemevatlin avoratanu va'in lishmo mikra megillah. Clearly, to say the kohanim and leviim have to read the megillah if they're otherwise unoccupied, there's nothing new. But to say that they have to walk away or excuse themselves from the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash in order to hear the Megillah, that itself is something new, because there we get into the issue of one mitzvah trumping another, what we call Dechiga. And that will be the focus of the first half of this morning's shiur. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav said the following, Kohanim Avodatam Uvi'im Duchanan V'Yisrael Ma'amadan. We said about the Ma'amadot last week at the end of Masechet Tanit. Kulan Mevatlin Avodatan. Every one of them cancels or stops their, or steps away from their avodah in order to hear the Megillah. Tanya Namihacha, a brighter that says the same. Now, the result of that is Mikan Samchu Shabbat Rabbi. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's household basing themselves on this ruling. They would suspend or cancel classes on Purim at least long enough for everyone to be able to hear the Megillah, and that was based on a Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer me Avodah. That Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash is canceled, then certainly Talmud Torah, which evidently in their reckoning is less serious, is canceled for Mikra Megillah, or suspended. Uma Avodah Shichamura Mevatlinan Avodah, which is more severe and serious, we suspend. Talmud Torah Lokol Shekein, how much more so the Talmud Torah should be suspended. And then we ask the question, Avodah Chamura Mitalmud Torah, since when is worship more serious than Talmud Torah? And here we have a story from the fifth chapter of Sefer Yoshua. V'hakti v'hi v'yod Yoshua b'richo v'yisayinah v'yar v'yay isha meid l'negdo. Yoshua is in the environs of Jericho. This is just before the battle against Jericho. This is just against the battle of Jericho. Just before. And Yoshua encounters a man. He meets a man with a drawn sword. And what happens? He says, and the fellow says, and Yoshua says, are you with us or against us? He says, no, I am an angel, Sartzva Hashem. And immediately Yoshua falls to his face. Parenthetically, the Gemara asks, how could Yehoshua greet this man at night? From Rishon Levi, Asur Adam Shetein Shalom B'Chaviro B'Laila, you shouldn't greet somebody at night. That means outside. Shchashin and Shemashedu, maybe it's just a demon looking like your friend. How could he greet this fellow? So Shaniatam Demarle Ki Ani Sar Tzva Adonai, because the angel introduced himself as a minister of God. Right? Umvedilam Ashakri, so maybe he's not really a minister of God, maybe it's a demon who's lying. So Gemiri Dilo Mafki Shem Shemaim Levatala. So we have a tradition that the demons, even though they may lie, they will not use God's name in vain. So he would not have presented himself as an angel of God unless it were so. So now that we've clarified why Yehoshua greeted him, Amarlo Emesh Bitaltam Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im V'Achshav Bitaltam Talmud Torah. And so according to the Agadah, the angel said to Yehoshua, I'm coming with my sword drawn in order to punish you, because yesterday you didn't bring the afternoon tamid, and now you're not studying. Amarlo alezen hanbata, and so the fill in the blanks, Yeshua says, which one of them caused your arrival? In other words, which one was the sin grievous enough to cause you to come and threaten us? Amarlo atavati. And if you look on the page, you'll see I put both psukim here. On verse number one, the second pasuk, lo ki ani sar tzva Adonai atavati, I have come now. What does I have come now in this midrashic reconstruction mean? It means I have come for what you have just omitted, which is Talmud Torah, which means the study of Torah is more severe, meaning the omission or the neglect of Talmud Torah brings a greater consequence than the neglect of the Avodah. So miyad, now parenthetically, we have a problem with this result. Vayalan Yehoshua b'layla hu b'tocha emek. The text, our Gemara has the text that Yehoshua then slept in the valley. We'll see why it's problematic in a second. What is the drasha on that? Amar Rabbi Yochanan melamed shalan b'umkash al halacha. It means that he slept in the valley of halacha. Emek halacha. He went into the depths, meaning he immediately to repair the problem, immediately involved himself in the study of Torah. Good, a very nice idea. The only problem is there is no such pasuk. Tosa points this out on the spot, and if you take a look at the page, you have a pasuk number 2 and a pasuk number 3. In pasuk number 2, it says that Yehoshua sent the ambush group, and vayalen Yehoshua b'layla hu b'tocha am. Yehoshua slept that night b'tocha am, not b'tocha emek, among the people, among the army. Am in Yehoshua almost always means army. And in the second pasuk, which is four pasukim later in the eighth chapter of Yehoshua, it says, Vayelech Yehoshua b'layla hu b'tocha emek. So it seems to be a hybrid between the two pasukim. Of course, the larger problem is that neither of these pasukim have anything to do with the war of Yericho. This is in the second war of Ha'ai, after they lost the first war, after the war with Yericho. But as Tosa points out, this is the way of the Darshan. In any case, Shmuel Bar Unya makes this independent observation that the Talmud Torah is greater than Korbanot because the Malach came because of the Talmud Torah. So how could it be that Rebbe made the Kal V'chomer if we walk away from the Avodah to do Mikra Megillah, Kal V'chomer walk away from Talmud Torah to do Mikra Megillah? It should be opposite. So the answer is Lo Kasha, Had Rabim V'Had Yachid. Yoshua's Talmud Torah was the Talmud Torah of all of Am Yisrael. That is more severe than the Korbanot. But Rebbe's own Beit Midrash, which is a few of individuals, or even numerous individuals, is still an isolated group, that is indeed less severe than the Avodah. Udiyachid Kal, since when is the individual study so light? It doesn't mean light, but relative to the Avodah. At nine, we have a Mishnah, the Nashim B'Moed Ma'anot. These are three different kinds of mourning rituals that women, who were often hired to do this in front of the bier, would do. They would respond to each other, avalom etafchot, they wouldn't slap their hands. So on Chol HaMoed, if somebody's buried, they do one kind of mourning, but on another, Shol HaMerim HaYus, Mechot LaMitaf, they're right next to the bed, then metafchot, they do hit their hands. But Barashei Chodashim, we'll see a third kind in a minute, Barashei Chodashim Chanuk Vapurim, but if it's a day of less sanctity, meaning not Chol HaMoed, but Rosh Chodesh Chanuk Vapurim, Me'anot U'metafchot Bazel Vazeh. In any case, they do both calling out, and the slapping their hands, whatever sort of noise making is a sign of mourning. Avaloma kononot. That's the third kind, which is a certain kind of wailing, perhaps ululation. The Amar Rabba Barhuna ein moed b'fnei tamin chacham. Meaning, if there is a tamin chacham who's being buried in Chol HaMoed disappears, as it were, and we do all the mourning rituals. Right? Kol shekein Chanukah Purim. Certainly in Chanukah Purim. And Rosh Chodesh, we would do the full mourning rituals and the full wailing, etc., because it's a Tamin Chacham. And there is a Tamin Chacham who is recognized for his own personal study. So that seems to be that even personal study is great. It certainly is great. But Kvod Torah Ka'amart, the Gemara challenges, it says you're not talking about the same thing. You're talking about Kvod Torah. The honor that we show a Tamin Chacham at his death is an issue of Kvod Torah. Kvod Torah Diachir Chamor, certainly, the kavod of Torah that you show to an individual, which, by the way, can only be shown to the individual, because each individual, at his death or at his occasion it is, as standing up for him, that you're showing deference to that individual. Talmud Torah diachid kal, but the individual's study is indeed lighter than the avodah. And now we understand Rebbe. Good. Now Rava is going to put all of this together in a mix, and along with several other things, and create what we might call a value system or an evaluative system. Amar Rava, pshitali. The first thing that I know is avodah mikra megillah. If I have a conflict between avodah mikra megillah, meaning I'm a kohen and I'm on moed of the Beit HaMikdash, but I haven't yet heard the megillah, so mikra megillah adif. If I can only do one, I do mikra megillah. Rabbi Yosef Bacharina, from the drasha that we had, mishpacha mishpacha. Talmud Torah mikra megillah. If I'm studying Torah and I have to hear the megillah, so mikra megillah adif. Then I have to hear the Megillah. That takes precedence. Midasam Chushavet Rebbe, from the story that Rebbe used to cancel classes so people would hear the Megillah. Talmud Torah make mitzvah. Now I've got another conflict. What happens if I'm studying Torah and I encounter a mate mitzvah, which means I encounter somebody who's died and nobody's going to bury him? So clearly, mate mitzvah adif. There's no question that I stop my study of Torah and I attend to the dead body. Midatanya, we have that as a brightum of atlin Talmud Torah lahotzat amet v'lachnasat kala. We cancel our study of Torah for a funeral and also for rejoicing with a bride. In other words, we put our Talmud Torah aside. There's a sugya that's more developed in the beginning of the second parak of Ketubot in order to do these proper social functions. And so, kal v'chomer, if we do it for a mate that has other people bury him, certainly we're going to do it for a mate that has no one to bury him. Now, avodah u'mate mitzvah, what happens if I'm a kohen, I'm on my way to do the avodah, and then I encounter a mate mitzvah, and I dafka pick the kohen? You'll see why. So mate mitzvah adif. The answer is you don't go, and by the way, by involving yourself in the mate mitzvah, you're now going to not be able to do the avodah for another week at least. Why mi v'la achoto? And I learned that from the word achoto, le'achoto, in verse 4, which describes the nazir and his abstaining from any sort of contact with death. The Tanya v'la'achoto, matzav l'avor, why does the Torah have to say that he should not have contact with death, including his father and his mother? Just saying, I've no contact with anybody who died. Why does it have to list them? Let's say it's a regular guy who was going to bring a Korban Pesach or to go do Brit Milan, or he's on his way to do a mitzvah, and he heard that somebody died. Sorry, this is a Nazir. And he heard that somebody died. Yachol Yitameh, I might think that he should go and involve himself with the body and take care of it. Amart lo Yitameh. So the Torah says, no, you're a Nazir, you don't have any contact with the dead, other family members will take care of it. Yachol Kashem Shenu Mitameh Lachoto Kachinu Mitameh Lemit Mitzvah. So I might think that just like he doesn't become Tameh for a family member, he does not become Tameh for a Mit Mitzvah. That's why the Torah lists specific relatives to say, he does not become Tameh for his sister, but he does become Tameh for a mate mitzvah. So now we've got essentially two kings sitting on top of the hills. We've got one which is Mikra Megillah, which trumps Avodah and trumps Talmud Torah. We've got mate mitzvah, which trumps Avodah and Talmud Torah. Alright? Now, what if we put these two against each other? Boy Rava, Mikra Megillah, Mate Mitzvah, Himinayu Adif. So a person is on his way to hear Megillah, and then he encounters a dead body. So which does he do? And he's going to present the arguments for each side. Mikra Megillah Adif Mishum Pesu Menisa. This is a very big consideration. Is that Mikra Megillah should take precedence because you want to publicize the miracle? Odima Mate Mitzvah Adif Mishum Kvod Abriyot. Perhaps because of the honor to all of God's creatures, Mate Mitzvah comes first, and we have to take care of the body and bury it properly. So the answer is, Bata Dabaya Hada Pashta. After Rava asked the question, he answered it himself, which is, Mate Mitzvah Adif, why De Amar Mar, we have a famous statement, Gadol Kvod Abriyot Shedochet Lo Taseh Shabbat Torah. The honor for the dignity of people is so great that it defers Mitzvot Lo Taseh in the Torah. Now, which Mitzvot Lo Taseh does it defer? So Rashi points out that the text says that you are not allowed to ignore a lost item. But the way it presents it is vihitalamta, the Gemara Bava Metzia says, pamim shatam mitalein, pamim shat eyatam mitalein. Sometimes you can hide from it. When is that? If, let's say, you're an older person, and it's beneath your dignity, you're an elder or a statesman, it's beneath your dignity to go pick up this relatively small item, you can turn a blind eye. Of course, it comes to you, you have to take care of it. But you could turn a blind eye. Why is that? Because of dignity. However, another sugyot, this is used to refer specifically to the lo taseh of lo tasur, the prohibition against violating any of the words of the Rabbanan, which is why, for instance, the Gemara states in Menachot that if somebody is walking down the street in a carmelite, it's a place where you're not allowed to carry on Shabbat, mean the Rabbanan, and their tzitzit become torn, which means now, technically, the garment that they're wearing, they're now carrying, because it's an invalid pair of tzitzit. Nonetheless, they carry it until they get into their house. They wear it until they get into their house, because to take off their garments in the street is a lack of dignity. And the lotaseh of lotasur, of abiding by the words of the Rabbanan, gets deferred in order to maintain human dignity. Good. In any case, we had a statement of Rabbi Shuvan Levi yesterday, or actually on Friday, that we dealt with, which was about the krach v'chol asamuchlo. This is how Rabbi Shimon Levi interpreted the verse, medina medina v'ir v'ir, to tell you that a walled city and anything that's within the proximity of the walled city is included. And now we're going to have a series of halachot in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Krach v'chol ha-samuchol v'chol ha-nareimo nidon ke-krach. Anything that is near it and is seen with it is called a krach. Now, Tana, we have an expansion on that. Samuch ha-bisha eno nireh, if it's close by but it can't be seen with the city. Nireh ha-bisha eno samuch, or if it's seen with the city, even though it's not contiguous with the city. Nonetheless, it reads with the city. Now, we got to figure out what possible reality could be addressed in both these cases. Bishlova nireh ha-bisha eno samuch, I understand how it could be seen with the city even if it's not contiguous. If the city is next to a mountain and top the mountain is another little town, the town is not contiguous with the city, but when you look at the city, you see the town at the same time. That I understand. How can you have a town that's contiguous with the city and yet can't be seen with the city? Well, the answer is, if the town is right near a riverbank and in the ravine there's a small settlement, then you look at the city, you don't see the settlement below, but it nonetheless could be contiguous. The other Rabbi Shimon Levi, we continue with our series of his rulings. Krach shiashavu levasofu kaf. If you have a city that was first settled and then they built a wall around it, midon kekfar, that's a village. My Tama, where does he get that from? He gets that from verse number 6, which deals with batei arei chomav, the redemption of houses in walled cities, and walled cities have a special kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. The text says, "Dichtiv ish kim kor beit moshav ir choma," right? Which means shukaf levasof yashav, means it had to be moshav, it had to be settled after it was in ir choma, after there was a wall around it. Which, by the way, was the way they built cities, and often in the ancient times they would measure out a certain amount of land and build around it, and then they would start and build a wall around it, and then they would start filling it in. Which may be pshat according to some Rishonim in the passage in Tilim Kuf Chafet, ki ir shechubra la yachdav, that it's all filled in. Veloshi hashav v'asofu kaf. Good. Next halacha v'shuman levi, v'shuman levi, krach she'in bo asara batmanim. If a city with a wall built before they settled it, etc., doesn't have 10 people who sit in the shul all day and study and daven, and those are our batlanim, our publicly supported spiritual representatives, if you will. We'll deal with them in a day or two in the Mishnayot. Nidon kikfar. Even though it's a walled city and it's got a lot of people, it doesn't have asar batlanim, it's a village. And they don't read on the 15th. Maika mashmalan. What's the news here? I follow Tanina, we have a bright that says, Ezu here gdola, what is a big city? As opposed to a village, in other words, what city is tied to the 14th? Kol sheyesh ba'asara batmanim. If they have 10 batmanim, then it's considered a city. So pachot mikan is a kfar. Anything less is a village. So the answer is krach yitzdar yichlei. We have to say krach. What's the difference between an ear and a krach? It's not just size and it's not just a wall. A krach is a city which is a magnet. People come from all around to trade, to litigate, to study, whatever they do. And the ear is a city where the people live there. There may be market days there, but it's not a draw for people from all around. So that's why we had to mention krach. Why? Afalgav de mikali le mialma. Even though a lot of people come there from outside, they still need 10 residents who live in the city who are the batlanim, or who are supported by the city. Good. Now, v'amar b'shem levi, krach shecharav ulvasof yashav. If you have a city that was desolate and then it was settled, nidon kekrach. It's still a krach, meaning it doesn't have to have continued residence the whole time. If the residents left, there was a plague, there was a war, whatever it is, and they came back, that's how we read it now. So we say, my charev, what does charev mean? In lema charvu chomotav, meaning that the walls fell down? Yashav in lo yashav lo? So what, you have to have the walls back up to be able to read? V'hatanya, we're bright, going back to Parshat Bahar, Rabbi Eliezer, Bar Yossi, Omer, Asher lo choma. Now look very carefully at Pasuk number 6, the way I laid it on the page. The way that we write the word lo in the text is lamed aleph, meaning there is none. The way it's read, even though it's read the same way, is understood to be lamed vav, that it has a wall. Exact opposite meaning. So Asher lo choma, the allusion here by the two versions, the Kriyuch Tiv, is that it has a wall, and yet even if it doesn't have a wall, it's considered that the wall is there, meaning if it once had a wall. Right? Which means, and this is halacha in Arachim, this is halacha in Bat Erechoma, Halfisha in the Lakshav, Hayalo Kodamachain. In other words, if you buy a house in a city where it used to have a wall, at the times of Yeshua, and the wall's no longer up, that still has a din of arechoma, and you can redeem it according to those stipulations, and Mitzorim have to leave, etc., that still is an irchoma. So that could not be what Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying. If the walls fell down and were rebuilt, even if they are still down, you would still read. What does charev mean? Charev means that at some point there were no 10 batlanim, meaning that for a while they didn't have 10 batlanim, and so for that while it was considered a village. If they got back to 10 batlanim, we don't say the town has been X'd out forever, but rather it's restored to its former glory. Rabbi Shimon Levi. Lod ve'ona v'geach harashim, these three cities that are mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, mukafot choma mimot Yoshua b'Nun havu. He's giving testimony. These three cities, their walls date back to the times of Yoshua, which means, of course, halachically, that means that they have a din of batei choma for all the other halachot, and of course, read the Megillah on the 15th. V'hani Yoshua b'nanu, wait, did Yoshua build them? Meaning, were they up at Yoshua's time? Va'el pa'al b'nani, there's a man named El Pa'al much later in history, d'chtiv, v'nei El Pa'al Ever. His sons, who banat Ono, but Lod v'uvnoteha, he built Ono and Lod and the cities nearby. So he's the one who's credited with building these cities. Ono and Lod are near the area of Tel Aviv. V'litamech Asa banani. Wait a second. You want to go to the Psukim of Devar Yamim? We have the king Asa, one of the few righteous kings of Yehuda who built him. Dichtiv even Asat Areh b'tzurot Asher liYehuda. He built all of the fortress cities of Yehuda, and these cities are in the area of Yehuda, at least after the times of the Malchut. Amar Balazar, Hani Mukafot Chamami Yod Yishu Bin Nun Havu. We come to an answer which is similar to what we had on Friday, which was that we are essentially restoring the former proper way that it was. We're not innovating anything new. In the same way, these were originally walled. Charu B'Mepilagosh B'Giva. In that terrible story at the end of Shoftim, when there was a civil war, the cities were destroyed. Yata El Palal Banani. So this fellow El Palal came along and rebuilt the cities. But that means that according to the halacha that we said, they were always considered walled cities because the wall was up at the time of Yeshua. Hadur Inpo, then the walls fell down. They weren't destroyed, they fell down. Ata Asu Shaptsinu, and Asa then came and repaired them. Daikanami, if you look carefully, you'll see that in the verse. Tichtiva Yomer Liyuda Nivne Etarim Ha'ele. So El Asa said to the people, let's go build these cities. Right? Michlal Darim Hav Mikar. Obviously, then he's looking at real cities, not empty land. He's looking at cities that are there, that were there, and he's saying, let's rebuild them. Shema Mina. Good. We have several more halachot of Rabbi Shimon Levi, with which we'll conclude this morning. V'yam Rabbi Shimon Levi, Nashim Chayavot B'Mikra Megillah. Women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah. This brings an interesting discussion in Tosfot and among the Rishonim as to whether women's obligation is the same as men's. Is it the same as men's at night, as the Bahag says, but not during the day? Can a woman be motzi men, etc.? Fascinating discussions, including some interesting contemporary discussions. But zelo mi'inyanenu. He says women are chayav in mikra megilash afhen hayu b'oto hanes. They were themselves involved in the nes. Here you have a machloket. The Rashbam says they were involved in the nes. And by the way, this is said also in the context of the Arba Kosot and the context of Ner Chanukah. In Masachet Shabbat, Ner Chanukah, and Masachet Pesachim, Legabe Arba Kosot. The same wording, Afin Ayu Boto Anes. And in every place, the Rashbam says, Afin Ayu Boto Anes means they were instrumental in bringing the miracle to happen. In the case of Mitzrayim, we have the Midrash that it was the righteous women. In the case of Chanukah, the story of Yehudit. And of course, in the case of Purim, is Esther. Rashi and the Baal Atos disagree, and they say that no, Afin Ayu Boto Anes means Afin Ayu Boto Sakana. They were also under threat of death in both Mitzrayim and in Chanukah and Purim, and because they were saved, they're also obligated to give thanks to God, and they're obligated in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. The Amar Bishuman Levi, parenthetically, that reasoning is only utilized when there is a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. We don't utilize in the case of mitzvah d'Oraita, such as Achilat Matzah, etc. And by the way, women are patur from Sukkah, even though you would argue that Afena Yuboto Anes, they were also sheltered in the desert, because it doesn't apply to Doraitas. Rabbi Bishuman Levi, Purim Shachal Liot B'Shabbat, if Purim falls out on Shabbat, Sho'alin V'Loshin B'Nyano Shal Yom, on Shabbos, you study Halachot of Purim. My Yoyah Purim, why are you picking Purim? I feel the Yom Tov Nami, that's true of Yom Tov, that's true anytime that a Yom Tov falls out, even if it's on Shabbat, you study the Halachot that day. The Tanya Moshe Tikkun L'Yisrael, we'll have this at the very last passage in the Masechet. But we'll get a preview here. Moshe established for Yisrael Shusholim Bedoshim that they should study and discuss, meaning Ano Shel Yom, always the matters of that day. Hilchot Pesach Pesach, Hilchot Atzeret Batzeret, Hilchot Chag B'Chag. Not sure what Hilchot Atzeret are uniquely, but perhaps the Shtei Alechem and the Kivsei Atzeret, etc. But and Mitzvot Aliyah LeRegel, but they should study it on that day. This, by the way, connects itself with the Takana of Kriyat HaTorah. And it seems that one of the earliest formulations of the Kriyat HaTorah was the Kriyan Yom Tov, that it should be of a matter which relates directly to either the laws or the history of that Yom Tov. So the answer is Purim Yitzterichole. He had to mention Purim, because although it's obvious that on Yom Tov, you discuss the laws of Yom Tov, if Purim falls on Shabbat, perhaps we would avoid it. Mahu detayman igzor mishum derabah. We might want to avoid discussing Purim because it might lead to somebody reading the Megillah, and then we will violate the gzera that's formulated in the name of Rabbah, but it predates him, and which we will see tomorrow, which is the gzera that motivates us to avoid and move the calendar around to not read the Megillah on Shabbat. So Kamash Bolan, that's why Rishon Levi says, if Purim falls on Shabbat, then you still discuss the halachot of the day on Shabbat. Shimon Levi says you're obligated to read the Megillah at night and to read it again or review it during the day. Without going too much into detail, there is sufficient reason to believe that it was only in Shimon Levi's time, meaning after the Mishnaic period, that the takana to read the Megillah during the night was established. And the best proof for that, one of the proofs of that, is the fact that when we have, as we mentioned on Friday, and our whole sugya is animated by the takana to allow the villagers to come in and read on the market day. So the Ran asks, so what happened to the night reading? They're not going to come in at night. And the Meiri brings some possibilities that they would drag somebody back to their house, and he would read for them at night, but that means they'd have to come in the day before, and he rejects them. We don't read the Megillah at night in the villages, and the villagers don't read it at night. And so the Ran says, because the night reading is not all that significant. I'd like to suggest that at the time of the Takana, in the times of the Mishnah, there was no night reading. The night reading was really instituted during the period of the Amoraim. As we see, Rabbi Shimon Levi seems to be saying something new, which is you have to read it at night also. The other point is that if you look at the Mishnah at the end of the second parak, it gives us the general rule about daytime mitzvot and nighttime mitzvot. It says that every daytime mitzvah should be done after Hanetzach Hama, sunrise, but if it's done after Midrash Shachar, the first light of dawn, then you yotzei. And then it lists all sorts of mitzvot that are daytime mitzvot, and says they're kosher kol hayom, vidui parim, and korban musaf, and shofar, and lulav, and etc. These are all daytime mitzvot that can be done anytime during the day. Mikra Megillah is listed there. But when the parallel Mishnah talking about nighttime, Ksirat HaOmer, and perhaps Achilat Psachim, is kosher all night, that's Machloket Tanaim, there it does not mention Mikra Megillah. So that's something for an Iyun that is beyond the scope of what we can do here. In any case, what's his proof? Shenemar Elohai Akrai Yomam Velo Taneh. He's taking this from Psalm 22, which is associated with Esther. And we will see later on that many of the psukim there are attributed to Esther in her encounter with Ahasuerus and Haman, etc. Elohai Akrai Yomam Velo Taneh V'layla V'lo Dum Yali. I call out to you during the day, and I'm not silent at night. Now, Sovereign Minah, they thought that Rabbi Shimon Levi meant, which means it was not the practice then. They thought he meant, Lemikre B'Layla, you read it at night, and Lemit Namanit in Yidabi Yomama, and then study the Mishnayot. In other words, read the Megillah at night, and then study the laws of it during the day. Amar Lahu, Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah, a later Amora in Eretz Yisrael, said, L'didim Mifreshal Minet Rabbi Chiyah Barabba. Rabbi Chiyah Barabba explained it to me clearly. Kigon Dam Rinchi, it's just like people say, Evor Parshat Adava Yitne. I'm going to go over this Parsha and I'll review it. Meaning, I'll read it once, then I'll read it again. Meaning, you read the Megillah at night, and then you read the same exact thing again during the day. Itmar Nami, Amar Rabbi Chavar Ula Bira, Chayav Adam Likot HaMegillah Balai L'Ishtotah Bayom. We have the same halacha in the name of Rabbi of the name of Ula, which in same halacha but a different text, a different pasuk. That I will always praise you, meaning day and night. And so now Megillah is not an issue of is in Rabbi Shimon Levi's pasuk of calling out at night and calling out during the day, but rather I'm always going to praise you. And the way that we always praise God is to also read the Megillah at night and also to read it during the day. And based on this reading, of course, we would never think that it means to read it at night and then to study it during the day, but rather to read it at night and then to read it again during the day, the reading of the Megillah therefore becoming or being considered praise of God for the great miracle and salvation of Am Yisrael. Everybody should have a wonderful day, and we will pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, and finish the first sugya till the next Mishnah.